Let's continue in our study in Matthew. We're gonna move. I want to get to a certain place in Matthew before Pastor Cahill starts. Today we're looking at victory over temptation, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. If we could stand together and read together in honor of God's word, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew says this: Then Jesus was led. Some of your translations may say driven. Greek, and in the Greek it's driven. Driven by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put your Lord your God to the test. And again the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And all this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Thank you. You may be seated, and let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture that is so vital and so important to the Christian life and so important to the understanding of whom we worship, Jesus the Messiah. Father, it's a sense of hope and redemption and excitement that we know because you conquered death. You paved the way for us to have eternal life if we would simply call upon your name and repent of our sins, confess our sins, and believe in you. And so, Father, as we look at this scripture, it's so important that we get the purpose of this and the mission of why Jesus came to earth. Father, we look at what we have been participating in this worship, and the exciting news of a new pastor. Father, we do pray that you would be with him and his family. We pray for this church. We ask that everything that is to happen would be in keeping with your will. And we pray, Father, for this time and this transition of this church and the next permanent pastor. And so, Father, now as we look at this passage of Scripture, we do pray that everything we say and do would be in keeping with your will, your wishes. And we pray, Father, that you would give us a sense of power from your Holy Spirit as we look at this passage. The devil doesn't like what will be said today. And so, Father, we do pray for a sense of your unction, your Spirit. Father, when we leave here in the next few moments, that we would be forever changed because of our time to you with you today. In Christ's name, amen. There's nothing like temptation. There's nothing like the issues of temptations that we deal with. I was going to do something today, and I'm not. I'm going to partially. I brought in here some temptation. And I have done this before in other passages of Scripture, and I've set them in a place where everybody can see. And at one point, I even ate some while I spoke. I'm not going to do that. If you really want to know the truth, I bought these, and I have been eating a box on the way up from South Florida, and I think I have a sugar high. But there's nothing like temptation, and there's nothing like temptation comes in all sorts of issues of forms, and it's what do we do with it? Because the fact is, everybody is tempted in something. For somebody that says, well, you're lying, because everybody is tempted in something. And it's what we do with it concerning the Christian life and concerning how we live. Well, you know, then there's some that say, well, you know, I just fell. Well, that's not an excuse. That's a rationalization. That's a justification for your sin. But how do we deal with this? I'm reminded years ago, and speaking of this, and the daughter getting engaged, and she's told me I have so much time to lose 20 pounds and all of that stuff. But years ago, you know, I used to keep fit because I had to keep up with my teenage sons. Now it's for good health, and but we wrestle. I don't know if you all wrestled when you were younger. We wrestled, and you know, the dad always wins, and then all of a sudden you realize there's a time in life where the dad doesn't always win anymore. And that's when the dad says, okay, enough, I don't have time for this, and let's go to the movies or something like that. But I had my 13, Andy was 13, and we were wrestling around, and I had him on the ground, and he was done, and then I kind of was standing over him, and out of nowhere, he caught me right in the gut. And I said, Andy, why did you do that? And he said, I had an opportunity, and I took it. And that's really the issue of when it comes to these things, we say, I had an, how do we do this? You know, when we justify our temptations, we're putting ourselves on the throne instead of Christ, and we say, well, you know, I'm only human, and I'm putting myself in for a sense of fall. We live in a culture and a time of just immorality, and just evil. A culture that has fun parading sin. And it simply says, if I have an opportunity, I will take it. And so today we're talking about Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And as we walk through this gospel, it's so important to get that in chapter 1 and 2, there's this infancy narrative. Chapter 3, last week we talked about Jesus he identifies with us and his substitution and atonement and baptism and all of this. And today we see that we have victory over temptation because Jesus has victory over it. He identifies with us today by going through the issues of temptation. The Bible says that Jesus was led or driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And that word driven in Greek, there is purpose here. There's a need for this to happen. It's just not happenstance, but there's reason and purpose for Jesus to go through this time before his earthly ministry begins. We see Jesus was tempted in all ways and yet did not sin. And so I want to say several things before we start into the story. And these are important. These are some theological things, but it's important. One idea is it's called the impeccability of Christ. The idea that Jesus, even though he was the sinless Christ, could not sin. He did not sin. And so there's a difference between temptation and sin. Christ did not sin. So you have to understand. So when you hear these movies, The Last Temptation of Christ, or all these different things, that's not true, because the sinless Christ, 100% man, 100% God, could not sin. But on the other hand, that if Christ could not sin, then why does he go through this issue of the temptation story? Because then it's all a play. Then it's really not real. Then we're just fooling ourselves. Well, no. The humanity of Christ has to go through this. And we see that the reality is, when we see the sonship of Christ, it means that Jesus has the purpose and the power and the right to satisfy his own needs. And he didn't. Okay, he could have, and we see the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat drops of blood when he prayed, if there's another way, because he knew what was to come to pass, he knew what his purpose was, he knew, but he was still willing to go through it. And so the reality is, this isn't just a play, this isn't a story. The reality is, there is a real devil, and the devil did tempt him. We see the Holy Spirit driving him into the desert for a reason and purpose, and that is to have this time with the devil and to show the devil that he would be superior, he would overcome. And so a couple of issues about the devil. And I've said some of this to you before. Devil, or diabolos in Greek, it means slanderer. It means liar. I believe the devil is real. The devil is not some impersonal force. But the Bible says that the devil or Satan is a created angel that wanted to be like God. I said, we go through all this stuff in our world today. Wouldn't it have been nice just at the beginning of all of this if the devil could have just enjoyed just being happy to be there with God? But instead, he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God. And so beautiful, so wonderful, at the same time filled with jealousy and pride and envy that he wanted to be his own God. And so God called this one a fallen angel and kicked him out of heaven. And so we see that the devil is a slanderer. The devil is a destroyer. He is not a nice guy. The devil does, it's not the devil gets a bad rap. The devil is evil. He wants to destroy Christians. First Peter refers to him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil is bad news. Do not hang out with the devil. It's just bad. And he destroys Christians. He destroys families. He destroys our world. He attempts to destroy by various, there are 15 things, distractions, divisions, hindrances, attitudes, strife, hate, envy, jealousy, spiritual confusion, spiritual issues concerning theology, dysfunctional relationships, lust, issues of the mind, hurts, all kinds of hurts, depression, issues of the heart. There's all this kind of stuff. But what the devil cannot do is this. Several things the devil cannot do. The devil has limited power. God is omnipotent. The devil's power is limited. And so that's one thing. The second thing, the devil, let's put it this way. We get this feeling, you know, the new Star Wars just came out. And so the force is with you. And we get this idea that there's a good and there's a bad force. And it kind of, that's dualism in theology. And you know, they battle back and forth all day and this kind of stuff. And don't go to the dark side and all of this kind of thing. Well, as far as God and the devil, that's really not true. The devil doesn't have this arm wrestling contest with God every day, because God is always the winner and the devil is always the loser. Okay? And so what the devil does is he can't get to God, and so he will get to what God loves the most, his children. And so that's why we have this every day, all the time, these issues of temptations and spiritual demonic attacks and all of these kinds of things that happen all the time. Because that's the truth. Secondly, the devil cannot possess the Christian, but only has enough power over the Christian as the Christian allows. In other words, you need to battle and fight, not in your own power, in your own presence, but in the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And third, the devil was conquered at the cross. First Peter says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now I got to tell you, that's verse 2, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, when was the last time you all ate? Okay? For me, it was about 30 minutes ago. All right? And we will leave here in about 30 minutes, and we will be heading either to a restaurant or to home to have lunch or through a drive-thru or something like that. Now, that's after 3 hours, right? The reality is we have 3 meals a day. Sometimes we have 2. If you're really cool and you're really prideful, you can have 1. Or if you're on the power fast or the intermittent fast or that kind of thing. The reality is that all of us will eat sometime today. Sometime today, sometime tonight, if we haven't already eaten, we will be hungry by the end of the day and we will eat. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know if you've ever been on a fast. where you don't eat. But I tell you, it ain't easy. And then what happens when you don't eat? The body gets weak physically. The body gets weak physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, everything. That's just after a few days. What about 40 days and 40 nights? Now, another thing about this issue of fasting, fasting is a way to get in touch with God. It's not done for the purpose of losing weight, though it is a side benefit, but the idea of fasting is that we put aside the things of the world, the issues of the world, and problems of the world, and we concentrate on the things of God, and that's the issue of fasting. Now, I don't know however long you've gone without food, but Jesus was hungry. And it's here we find, as the devil comes to him, the tempter, three ways to win over temptation. First of all, in Christ we win over the temptation of the shortcut. The shortcut. In verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written that man does not live on bread alone." This is the idea of encouraging Christ to be disobedient to the will of God. Take the shortcut. Satan says, satisfy your craving. Also in Greek, here's a little Greek lesson. Whenever you see, Greek, if you're in English grammar and all of this, this is really exciting to you. If you didn't do well in grammar, you don't care. Okay? But there's prepositions. Greek prepositions mean several different things. When you see if, a lot of times in Greek, it's since. Not like if, not in a question mark, but it's more a declarative kind of thing. And so, not if you are the Son of God, but since you are the Son of God. In other words, since you are the Son of God, then prove it. And Satan here is appealing to Christ's ego, his strength. Verse 4, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8:3, "Man shall live by, he shall not live by bread alone." In other words, it's more important to be obedient to the will of God than to eat food. Be obedient. How easy it is to be disobedient to the will of God when we want to do our own thing, when we want to have the shortcut. The shortcut comes in so many ways. How many times are we tempted to take the shortcut? In our world, forget marriage. That's commitment. You don't want to have commitment. You never know what level of commitment is going to take place. So just live together. It's no problem. Have fun. Life is for kids. Let's just have a few laughs. What is sad is how the statistics are up in all areas concerning our culture and immorality and amorality, and it just goes on and on and on. I've said to you, the joke about we had a lesson in our over Christmas over boomers as far as I'm proud that I'm a boomer. I don't have a problem that I'm a boomer. And boomers seen in this negative way to the millennials because we're older, okay? And as my daughter said, "Boomer, oh boomer, you're so wise." And I say, and I retort, "You're gamers. Do you know that? You're gamers because you do video games." Okay, but we got the bridge. The bridge. That's a certain amount of that's of a generation, the greatest generation, the boomers. That's us. And then the next generation, my sister generation, the busters. They call them the busters because everything in their life is broken. Their schools are broken. Their churches are broken. Their homes are broken. Their government is broken. Everything is broken. And then it goes on from there. And at one point, I don't know if you all know this, at one point, I'm not sure if it's Gen X or the millennials, but as the cycle comes around, you all are supposed to come back to the positive aspects of the bridge, the greatest generation, because you all will have learned from all of our mistakes. And you've returned back. And I don't know, that's yet to occur. To see, I think we'll have to wait a few more years to see if that is happening. But instead of spending crazy amounts of money like boomers and busters and all of that, you'll come back to saving like the greatest generation. But the reality is we are so inept when it comes to the long run. We have to take the shortcut. It's so easy to take the shortcut. And everywhere we take the shortcut. I'll tell you this. When I was at seminary, my degree plan was 3 years. And I went to school year-round because I was going to do PhD work. So I went to school in the summers. I did 2.5 on me, right? I could have gotten the education degree. That would have been a two-year degree. We moved to Texas, and we had our family had something. There was some issues in our family, and my sisters wanted me to move back. They had missed us, and we had been away in Texas, and there was just a lot of stuff with some other family members, and so they were calling for me to move back. And so I said to my study buddies, you know, I think what I can do, I've been there for about a year and a half, I can take the two-year degree instead of the three-year degree. It's a lesser degree, but I can finish in a shorter amount of time taking the shortcut, and I can finish and I can go home. And I'm so thankful because I had two friends. I went to their house, and I told them what I was going to do. I said, I'm going over to see the dean now. They threw me in a chair. They sat on me, and they said, no, you're not going anywhere. God's going to take care of your family. You're going to stay here and stick it out. And I'm so thankful because God did work it out. It was an emotional issue. But how many times are we wanting to take the shortcut? In Christ, we have victory over temptation of the shortcut. Secondly, in Christ, we went over the temptation of the spectacular. The spectacular. We see in verses 5 through 7, the devil takes him to the holy city, and he has him stand on the highest point, the pinnacle of the temple. He says, since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. A stone. Literally, throw yourself down and God will save you. And Jesus answers him and says, it is not written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The devil here is trying to get Jesus to jump off the temple. In other words, make a huge entrance, make a grand entrance. You could alter the Messiahship without dying on the cross. You can avoid the pain of the cross. You don't have to go through all that torture. You don't have to go through all of that. Avoid that. Avoid the pain of daily. Don't worry about it. Just throw yourself off the temple. Spectacular. Here Satan is trying to get Jesus to practice the sin of presumption. To presume one's presence. And when we presume God, our presence onto God, that's pride and it leads to a fall. There is a fine line between faith and presumption. Faith is believing that God will act or respond. Presumption is presuming God will make decisions on our behalf because we ask as a genie in a bottle. And the devil here is trying to get Jesus to think, hey, we're going to really do this great show and we're going to have fun. It's going to be great and it's going to be spectacular. And don't worry because you can show your magic powers and it's going to be cool. Don't think this way. Faith meets God's approval. Presumption incites God's wrath, or to run ahead or attempt to take over God's divine plan. I don't know if you pay attention to the headlines, but a few years back there was a headline in the newspaper that said, two preachers die in a test of faith. And this is the story of in Appalachia about a religious group where they in their religious worship time, they believe in handling snakes and drinking poison. And what had happened was these snake handlers, they had been bitten and they survived. And so these two guys were feeling pretty good about themselves. And so they decided to go on and then they drank some strychnine. And they died 2 hours later. This is not the work of faith, but presumption. God does not always work the way we want Him to. Some of us say, well, I don't do that, but you know, we do this. Okay, God, I'm praying about buying this house. And I need an answer by 5 o'clock today. And so, I know you're going to act. Let's get to it. Presumption. Years ago, I by the way, my children know that I talk about them. It's okay. and I love them, and they love me. But back in the day, I had two sons in college at the same time. And my son Andy, who's always the jokester, came up to me and he said, "So, Dad, what are we going to do about next semester's tuition?" And I said, "Who's we?" He said, "Well, I'm kind of short." I said, well, how much?" He said, "Well, about $700. And he says, "So, Dad, what are we going to do?" And so I said, "Well, I think, first of all, you should go visit the financial aid office." Presumption. Also interesting to note that Satan here quotes Psalm 91, which is a favorite verse. Psalm 91, 11 to 12. But he misquotes Scripture. He omits a section that that says he will keep you in all his ways. In other words, Satan knows Scripture. But there's always, in each of these accounts, there's a twisting, or a not telling the whole Scripture, but a twisting of God's Word. And so the fact is, when we try this, we can make the Bible say whatever we want the Bible to say. It's called spiritualizing the text. And cults all over the world take the Bible and rationalize their belief system. So please, be careful. Jesus comes back. He uses Deuteronomy 6:13. "Do not tempt the Lord your God." Be careful. God does not have to act on our wishes and ideas. He does have the right to act as he pleases. He is God, not us. In Christ, we went over the temptation of the spectacular. And third, in Christ, we went over the temptation of satisfied power. In verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He says, "All this I will give you if you will just bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. "All this I will give you." And this is to get Jesus to compromise. Jesus could also avoid the suffering cross. Again, avoid the suffering cross. Just bow, give everything up. Give everything to me. Just bow down to me. The Greek word is latreo. It means literally to bow down, to fall down before. It's the issue of power. Power corrupts. We know power corrupts. And Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6:13. He says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" In verse 11, the angels attended him. They stayed with him. That's ministering spirits. That's what angels do. In Christ, we went over the temptation of the shortcut. In Christ, we went over the temptation of the spectacular. And in Christ, we went over the temptation of satisfied power. We see that it's after this, Jesus, this marks the beginning of Christ's public ministry. If we could put, we don't have to put on the screen, but there is an issue of what is called the temptation triangle. Number one is the sin of appetite. He said, "I will never have enough." And by the way, I forgot to mention, Rick Warren said there's three issues of modern temptation that we all fight. I meant to say at the beginning, narcissism, hedonism, and materialism. And I would say that some of us have one, some of us two, some of us have three. There are all three where we have certain things that I'm faithing it out with you, but man, I want this. Why can't I have this? Why can't I have that? I deserve this. I deserve that. Or narcissism or hedonism, the issue of just, you know, this is my only vice and I'm going to do it. No. But the sin of appetite with the weakness is fear, I will never have enough. Or the sin of ambition, I will never do enough. Or the sin of approval, I will never be enough. And the devil takes those things and grinds us and tempts us and gets in our minds. And if we're not careful, we fall for the trick. We fall for it. These are issues of the mind. Well, we see that the devil left him. And Jesus began his public ministry. We'll talk about that next week. But what happens when you're up against it? And we all are. All the time, there's some kind of temptation of something, whatever it is. Whether it's these Krispy Kreme donuts, and, you know, why don't you take them? I'm going to leave them here. Do you, when you're up against it, do you try to faith it out? Or do you simply say, well, I had an opportunity and I took it. I saw an opportunity and I took it. And it's okay because God's going to forgive me because, well, you know, I just don't have the willpower, so I took the shortcut. Or I wanted to prove that I could do it. I wanted to put on a show. Or I just feel this insecurity. I have to show my power. Who is your Lord and Savior? Who do you worship? Let's go ahead and pray. And in a moment, we're going to have an invitation song. If you've never accepted Christ, when it comes to these temptations, these issues in life, without Christ, you're just a mark for the devil. You're in trouble. And it's, I'm so thankful that being a Christian and being a believer in Christ is not all about the ritual. It's not all about the right words to say, but it's the relationship that we have. It's the relationship that we have that we call on God during those times of temptation when we feel that we're losing it and I don't have the willpower. God, you have to help me. And at the beginning, we talked about the fact that Jesus conquered death. He conquered all of this. He conquered the devil at the cross and the resurrection. And I'm so thankful, aren't you? So if you've never accepted Christ, we invite you to do that. Or maybe you've been rationalizing your sin, rationalizing it. And so you want to get a new start, or maybe you want to join this church. Maybe you just want to come and pray here at the altar. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you today. And in our world of just nuttiness and chaos, a culture that parades sin. And how do we live? How do we do it? And Father, only through you are we able to withstand all of it. And Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for this time that you dealt with the devil in the wilderness. And you conquered it. And so, Father, we can have victory over all this nonsense by just keeping our eyes on you. Maybe there's somebody who's never accepted you today. May they do this today. Let them just talk to you. Reveal your love and your will to them. Maybe there's somebody who's joined this church or just come and pray or just get a new start. Whatever it is, we pray that they would do that today. In Christ's name, amen.